I am not an innocent bystander.
I am a threat to my enemy.
I am powerful.
I am strategic and bold.
I will not sit idly by.
I will take ground. I will advance.
I will tear through my enemy.
And my enemy will hate me.
I will not avoid the difficult fight.
I will fight! I will be wounded!
I will be targeted, and I will bleed!
I will not tire! My wounds will be healed! I will see tragedy! I will feel pain!
But I will be restored!
My feet will not stumble!
My hands will hold fast!
I will not be intimidated!
I cannot be stopped!
I will stand by my brothers in arms!
I will fight until my last breath!
I will push the limits! I scale the mountains! My enemy will cower!
But I serve a great king!
For I serve a great king, and it's not for wimps. That video shows the essence of spiritual warfare. My friends, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, regardless of what you may have heard or what others may have told you, it is not going to be easy. It will be rewarding, unlike anything you've ever known, but it may not be easy. See, oftentimes people think when you come to the Lord, when you become a Christian, that things get easy. All of a sudden, everything's going to smooth out. Not so. Not so. You know what? Our children need to be released. And before I get into the heart of the message, if you're in our Bridge Builders ministry, anywhere from 3 and 4 year olds all the way up through 5th grade, right now I want to release you to the team of people whose lives are devoted to building you up. So that what you just saw, this battle cry of Christianity, this preparation for real life in spiritual matters, your children right now for the next hour will be built up. They'll be preparing through the hearts and through the teaching and through the commitments of our Bridge Builders team to someday stand alongside you and say, let's go into the trenches of life. Let's go find those folks that need the love of Christ. I'm here. I thank God that I had 5, 6, 10 years in the Bridge Builders ministry, and I grew through the hearts and lives of people that poured into me every Sunday morning. Amen? Amen. Well, this morning we're here. Those of you that are part of our family either were with us last week, or I'm glad to say perhaps you saw last week's recorded message. We're here this week in week 2 of our Mission Impossible series. And if you're here, you know that in reality, the mission is very possible. It's not a question. Now, you may be saying, if you're not familiar with where we are, what is the mission? What is this all about? Well, this morning, I've entitled our message, Unnatural, Supernatural Boldness. It goes in sync with the video that you just saw, and that is this, that if you're going to be a member of the body of Christ, if you're a child of God, I want you to know that right here, right now, you need to get prepared to be bold. You need to be bold. Now, what does that mean? Well, before we get into the heart of today's message, I want to take you back to last week. I want to take you back to where we started. And you should see a globe up on the screen right now. And that globe, if you look very closely, will show a little tiny red dot. Now, that red dot is actually bigger than it ought to be, but I needed to make it big enough so that you could see it. That dot is in what is now known as Israel. Mission Impossible. What is this all about? Last week on Easter Sunday, we saw that the essence of all of Christianity is built on the reality, on the fact that it was not impossible, but rather the reality that Jesus Christ, the one true living God, died on the cross for our sins, was put in a tomb, and 3 days later, as he told us he would do, he came back from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the linchpin of all Christianity. You see, Paul, the fellow that wrote half of the New Testament for us, he went as far as to say this. He said, if that's not so, then all of our faith is a waste of time. This whole thing is a sham. Christianity, unlike any other world religion, is not built around philosophies. It's not built around a way of life. It's not built around a list of do's and don'ts. It's not some kind of a scale where if you get enough good, eventually you've tilted the scales to where now you're going to get to go to some form of eternity that we would call heaven. That's not what it's about. Every other world religion has some kind of a checklist and a scorecard. Christianity is all about believing in the fact, the historicity of a risen Lord and Savior, that Jesus is who he says that he is. He did what he told us he would do. He is in the single personhood of Jesus, fulfilling well over 300 prophecies of the Old Testament. He is the one true living God. We saw last week that that little tiny red dot is where everything began, and it doesn't make sense. Why Mission Impossible? Because Christianity doesn't make sense. Every other world religion you can point to, and you can connect the dots, and they all make some degree of sense. But as we saw last week, Jesus, a nobody. In the armpit of what was at that point the Roman Empire. Palestine or Israel, that's like an afterthought. There's nothing going on there. Come on. He's not coming from any kind of religious big shot family. He has no political sway. There's certainly no military backing to him. And you know what? Unlike most of the other folks that start these religions, he didn't claim to be a prophet. He didn't say he's speaking on behalf of God. He said he is God. Whoa. And the world had to and has to deal with this. Either Jesus himself was a lunatic, a liar, or the Lord Almighty. And so we put together this series, which is going to walk us through the book of Acts. We're going to take some spots in Acts, and we're going to look at not only the birth of Christianity, but the birth and the rise of the Christian church. Something that if you were to only look at it through your head, you would say, that's impossible. Can't be. There's no way that this sect of religion, which at the time really was considered to be just an offshoot of Judaism, almost kind of like a small group of wackos, you know, here's this Judaism light deal where they got some Jewish carpenter. I mean, all I know is they talked about him for like 3 years. He wasn't even like around for a long time. And, oh, by the way, at the same time, the whole world was going to persecute them because neither the Jews nor the Romans really cared about this, and they weren't looking for it to come out. So under the midst of all this persecution, we today stand in a country that claims to be over 80% Christian. Now, we talked last week a little bit about claiming the name and having the heart are two different things. But the point is, Christianity never should have made it out of the first century, let alone spread all over the world. Doesn't make sense. Well, last week we talked about it and we said, you know what? It's not a Mission Impossible. It's a reality. We can see in the here and now of our culture and our day, the fact that we're all here together is proof positive that it has happened. Question today is, how did it happen? What's at the heart of it? And I would tell you this, it's about biblical boldness. It's about being bold for Jesus Christ. It's about being the witnesses of the one true living God. We talked about it last week. Acts 1:8 is the foundation verse, not only for this church, but for this entire series. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, local, Judea and Samaria in your region, and to the outermost corners of the earth, the whole world." That's what it's all about. Well, this week I want to take you to the next step. I want to take you to Acts 4, verses 23 through 31. I want to take you into this understanding of biblical boldness. I've kind of entitled our message as a subtitle, Biblical Boldness 101. You see, we're called to be bold as the witnesses of Christ. That video, that's very real. You notice you had the feeling, the music, the atmosphere had your adrenaline pumping. You had the sword there talking about this being a battle. And yet, did you notice everybody was wearing regular street clothes? Half of the folks were on their knees. It's everyday life. And yet at the same time, it's spiritual warfare. We've got to be bold. The question is, and this is what we're going to look at this morning, how do you define that boldness? Where does it come from? What's it about? What is there a balance to boldness? Well, I want you to know this morning that there are three different types of boldness that we're going to take a look at. There's the mirror boldness. There's mentos boldness. And then there's missionary boldness. Let me read to you first our text so that you can get a feel for what's going on here. Now, let me tell you, we left last week where the disciples and the believers were coming together. They were devoting themselves to the teaching, to the prayer, to the fellowship, to the communion of the early church coming together. Now, what ends up happening is a couple of them get arrested. They're out sharing their faith. They're being bold and they get arrested. And they're told by the religious leaders, hey, cut that out. You're just going to make a ruckus here. We don't want anybody thinking about that whole Jesus thing. Knock it off. We'll put you in prison if you don't stop. And then they get released. And we pick up with this in Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 31. Hear God's word this morning. It says, on their release, after being released from prison, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Why do I show you a video like the first one and I tell you get ready, it's warfare? Upon their release, they were put in prison because they were bold for Jesus. We need not be shocked and thrown back when things get a little tough when we stand up for our faith. Goes on, it says, when they heard this, meaning the other disciples, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. This is the essence of our passage this morning, friends. This is what we're to do. Where does the boldness come from? It comes from God above. How are we bold? In part by going to the Lord. And you'll see, bold is two ways. You're going to see here this morning that you can be bold going to God, and you're to be bold going for God. But let me come back to our text. It says this, Sovereign Lord, now they're speaking in their prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David, saying back when King David even said this, why do you nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against the anointed one. David said, when Jesus comes, when the anointed one comes, they're going to raise up against him. Don't be surprised when the battles come. It says, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate. In their day, that'd be like the mayor and the governor. So saying, hey, even the mayor and the governor come up against you. It says, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus. It says the Gentiles, that means everybody except for we Jews. And then it says the people of Israel, saying the Jews. So in essence, he's saying the government, all the established leaders, all your homeboys, and all the people around in the neighborhood, everybody came up against you. Just like we thought. Goes on, it says, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Let me just encapsulate that for a minute. Here's the essence of what he's saying here. You knew what was going to happen. They didn't shock you. At no time does God say, oh no, what do I do now? Never saw that one coming. He's saying, Lord, we know you're Lord, and there isn't anything that's going to happen that's going to throw you off. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. He says, Lord, hear our prayer. You know what's going on. You know what they're going to throw at me. Many of you this week and in the last few months have felt the battle sting of all kinds of things rise up against you. Everything imaginable has come. Hear this prayer. This is our prayer. It says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. no matter what we're going through, no matter if you're hit by the kitchen sink, we're to lift up and say, Lord, help me to be your voice with great boldness. Let me be a witness that shines through my circumstances. Let my circumstances be the magnifier that show people that I'm not only with you when things are good, but in fact, rather, when things are bad, I shine brighter, because it doesn't make sense to anybody that doesn't have a relationship with you. But I get it. He goes on, he says, stretch out your hand and heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. He said, Lord, while all this is going on, show yourself. Do the miraculous. Let people know through our bold witness that you are the one true living God. And here's the close. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Boldly. Well, this morning I want to walk through with you an understanding of this word boldly and what it means to be this kind of witness. And I want us to always look back and understand that this is where the birth of the church, the impossible reality of the Christian church breaking through the first century and all of history in the midst of all the persecution, and why it thrives yet today, and why we keep penetrating more and more darkness, and we get the truth in love out to the farthest corners of the earth. First thing I want to do is I want to talk to you about mirror boldness. I would say to you that some can look very religious. And I would ask you not to just act the part. Don't just look the part of a witness, of being bold. Ooh, boy, an outfit like that, that guy's got to be bold. I couldn't imagine walking the streets in that. Say, tell me about your Jesus. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What is it that you're dressed up for? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What's this all about? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Don't act like a mirror of boldness. You know what? To be bold requires action. And I want to be careful, because you know what? So oftentimes we think of boldness and we think of the gregarious personality. We think of the person that's larger than life and, oh yeah, the gift of evangelism that that person must have. Boldness is not measured in the particulars of the activity. Boldness is measured in the attitude of the heart. You see, you may be a prayer warrior. It may be that God has called you to pray for people boldly. It may be that you're there to write books. You know what? I went to seminary. I am so blessed to have been under the study and under the tutelage of some gifted scholars. And they may have studied their whole life into small parts of the scripture so that people like us can understand it in regular language. Well, if God's called you to be a scholar, then be a bold scholar. Go do the best you possibly can. That's what we're talking about here. It's about being who God has called you to be, the wiring that he's given you, and just do it passionately. You know what? Kim is a stay-at-home mom. She's a passionate stay-at-home mom who values very seriously the raising of our family and our children in a loving Christian home. And you know what? For somebody to say, well, geez, that's all you do? Oh, they don't get it. Kim works harder than most people I know. And she's fully devoted to raising a Christian family. Her ministry is our home first, then to supplement what goes on here at the Bridge. She's a passionate, bold Christian mother and wife. And you know what you do when you see people like that? You say, amen. That's a witness. Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you're a police officer. Maybe you're a business person. Maybe you're a piano teacher. Whoever you are, be that person. Be a witness in that environment, in the wiring that God has given you, and be bold in that witness. It doesn't have anything to do with how loud you speak. It has everything to do with your presence. Amen? Now, I have an example here of a quiet witness, and it's there to say, you know what, don't just stand there and look the part. But I have to also speak the tough love side of those that might look the part. Look very bold. But you know where I'm going. Sometimes people's look and their life don't match up. And I'm here to tell you, if all you do is look the part, that's not it. God doesn't call us to be some kind of a poster for Him. He calls us to live out that witness. How is it that the church got out of the armpit of the Roman Empire through the first century and all the persecution? People didn't just stand there, nor did they go out as hypocrites. It's about walking the talk, living the life. I've got to ask you, how many of us, and don't raise your hands. You know why? Because I think it would be a sad response to watch how many of our hands would go up because mine would go up. How many of us have spent time out of a church because we saw people in the church that didn't reflect anything that we'd want to be a part of? That's what happens when the fine print of your life doesn't match up with the look of the exterior. Take a look at this. And I pray that it doesn't sting, but it simply reminds us how important it is to go beyond a mirror boldness. Does the billboard of your life match the fine print? Is it window dressing, or is it happening from the inside out? That's the question. Now, let me take you to the other extreme. You see, we've got two parts here to understand this boldness. We've got the sheepish, can't really get out of our shell, can't really be that witness, or we're the phony, hypocritical witness. But now the pendulum swings the other way as well. And my friends, this gets to be pretty interesting. You see, I want to share with you a couple of pieces of the scriptures, because I want to put this into context before I take you where I'm about to take you. You need to understand that when we talk about being bold, it's more than just looking the part. And of course, you've got to be authentic. I'm about to take you to the other side where the extreme swings in the other direction. But I want you to understand this, because I'm about to perhaps go from preaching to meddling. And I may be going a little deeper into some hearts than are comfortable. But here's the thing. I want you to know that I'm not telling you to fit into some cookie cutter mold. I'm bringing you God's word. And I want you to know that you first and foremost have the promise of God that you can go to Him and ask for the power to have this boldness. You see, it's not of our own personality. It's not that, well, you know what? You've got enough unction in you. You're just brass enough where that's not bad. Let me show you what happens when you go to God and you ask Him for help with this. I'm over in Luke chapter 11 right now, and Jesus was telling the story. He says, you know, a guy is at his house, and some friends come to town. And he doesn't have any food to feed him. So he goes over to another friend's house and he starts knocking on the door. He says, hey, I got some folks just came into town. I need some food. Help me out. Guy inside says, hey, look, I know we're friends and everything, but it's late. My whole family's already gone to bed. My kids are in bed. Leave me alone. Jesus says the guy outside kept knocking, kept banging, saying, hey, come on, help me out here. He was persistent. And the guy inside says, you know, come on, leave me alone. It's late. Jesus makes the point of saying, you know what, not because they were friends, but rather because the guy on the outside was bold, he eventually got the bread that he needed. Let me read this to you. This is Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read you verses, the second half of verse 8, all the way down through verse 10. And know this applies to us. It says, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, now this is Jesus saying, here's the lesson. I just showed you that guy being persistent because he was bold, he got what he needed. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Now you say, sounds like a bunch of empty promises. Is that some kind of Christian lottery ticket? No, it's not. This is all into the context of knowing that you're asking for what God would want. He's saying, you know what? Be a part of my will. Seek what I want for you. Be willing to persevere and to press on. And if you'll keep on keeping on and you keep coming to me, the message is that of persistence. You keep coming. You show me that it's your heart's desire and that you're not going to turn back. And if you keep coming to me, I will provide. Saying, that sounds a little much. Well, let me read to you now one other text and I'm going to show you how this all comes together. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I want you to hear this. This is absolutely beautiful. Let us then, and in the context here, it's talking about Jesus having gone through and lived through everything that we've lived through. We don't just have a risen king. We have an empathetic, loving king who came on purpose so that he could understand what we deal with. You know, when you're hit with everything but the kitchen sink, he knows that feeling. He knows what it's like to have the kitchen sink. And here's what's said to us. Let us then, because we have a risen king who loves and understands, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I want you to understand, friends, it's not always going to be easy. But we're to be bold. You know, we don't look for the path that's easy and fun. We look for the path that's been laid out for us. It's all about having a boldness to obey. Amen? Amen. Easy when I talk about it over here. Let me take you now to another side of things. Let me take you to the idea of being a mentos, boldness, and why we don't want to do this. You see, there's another extreme. I want you to know that sometimes people take God's word and they use it like a hammer. You ever seen one of those people? Maybe somebody out on the sidewalk screaming and yelling at you? Somebody telling you that you're going to burn in hell because you're wearing wrong color clothes? Somebody telling you that because you're not like them, you don't measure up? Now, those people will tell you that they're being bold for the Lord. I would tell you they're making a mess of the Messiah's work. There's a big difference between being biblically bold and just making a mess of the Messiah's work. Some folks are going out and they're pounding people. They're beating on people. Some of them do it overtly. Some of them just do it by raising up their nose and looking down at people. I want to give you another visual example. A video that's entitled The Violent Gospel. Somebody that misunderstands this whole concept of boldness and has taken it and has perverted it immeasurably. Take a look at this. You'll know what I mean in a second.
Being here is to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, our Savior, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you got some real creatures here at the Marilyn Manson concert. Creatures, anti-Christ creatures, pro-Satan creatures, heathen creatures, and so I need to, and the Church of Jesus Christ needs to tell them to repent. They're going to go to hell if they continue this type of activity.
Say, man. What's the word? What are you doing?
Making Christians into Christians.
Making Christians into Christians.
Building their character.
Okay. Do you ever stand on the street corner and do this kind of
Absolutely.
Thing? Absolutely. What is the usual response that you get?
I hold a different message when I go out on the streets here. I'm at a Christian convention here. Take that card right there out of the Bible. When I'm on the streets, I'm warning the wicked. I'm not I'm out there to save the saved. Here, I'm here to save the saved.
So how do you plan on convincing them to repent?
I'm going to let the Holy Spirit use my van, which I just toured the place. Let the Holy Spirit take the Word of God and the Jesus Saves from Hell sign and let them prick their hearts that, oh, and I'm shaking my finger like, no, no, stop doing that, don't go here, so that the Holy Spirit will then work in their hearts and say, yeah, that guy's right, you better not go in there. Hey, get this. Saturday morning, I hit the Howard Stern deal in the morning, Saturday morning. I hit the Marilyn Manson bisexual heathen at the Anaheim Pond Saturday night. I hit the L.A. Marathon this morning with the banner, and now I'm back here at the forum tonight, so I'm having a heck of a weekend.
Today I heard somebody say it's okay to sin. It's okay because God's going to come back and say, did you read the Bible? You're a great person. No, you were sinning. He does not accept sin in his kingdom. If you sin, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. If you continue to sin, all that's left is judgment and raging fire.
God's going to throw you into hell for even being around here. You're going to hell just being here. Mom, you need to get it together. Get your girls going to church. I'm going to worry about it. You don't go to church. If you went to church, you couldn't be here. This is Antichrist. They got Antichrist on their T-shirts. Wake up, Mom.
The Bible is 100%. Christianity is 100%. And that's the only way you're going to make it to heaven. The only way. Obey God. Walk as Jesus did. Not yourself. You cannot make it to heaven by being yourself. You have to be like Jesus. Tell the people about the good news that he does save lives. And there is a heaven. And warn the wicked that they are going to hell. And if you don't, you might go to hell yourself on Judgment Day. Period. In a sense, it's in the Bible 100%. Don't change it for your needs. Don't change it for somebody else's needs to make them think you're going to heaven. Because you are a liar. Speak the truth and make it to heaven.
I encourage all you young people to get signs and come out here at these rock concerts and Bible tracts from your church. And start spreading the word and warning these kids are going to go to hell. That's your job. And if you don't do it, on Judgment Day, when these people go to hell, they'll say, well, nobody ever told us we were going to hell. Nobody was ever down there. If we were going to hell, the loving Christians would have come down and said, repent. Well, I'm down here.
What do you do with a guy like that? How'd you like to find out that the neighbor you've been praying for 6 months happened to walk by one of these two jokers over the weekend? You know, there's boldness, and then there's boldness. We're not called to be wallflowers or hypocrites. And I'll tell you what, friends, we're not called to be repulsive. Okay, you know what that guy does? He digs a hole and he just makes it tougher and tougher and tougher for the love of Christ to break through. The point is, a lot of what they said, there's truth wrapped up in the vinegar and the sour of their packaging to a certain extent. But I'll tell you what, that is not representing Christ. That is not biblical boldness. That's hypocrisy and ignorance. You see, to understand the true love and the gift of grace that they are professing to be trying to draw people to would absolutely shut down that kind of mess. And that's what I want us to see, is to understand, you know, when we understand what a proper balance of biblical boldness is, to understand that it comes from God through our prayers to God, lived out through our lives, not in how loud we can yell at people, but how softly and how authentically we can love people. My dear friend, Diet Coke, Those of you that know me know that I am, I openly profess to having an unhealthy relationship with Diet Coke. I'm working on it. Fact's a fact. Mentos. I say to you, don't be a Mentos type of bold Christian. Say, what in the world do you mean, Pastor Jeff? I've got four or five of these in my hand. That video shows what happens when you become a mess with the Messiah's work. When you misunderstand the true meaning of boldness into being some kind of a bull in a china shop. That is absolutely ridiculous, and it's the absolute opposite of what we're called to be as Christian witnesses. You know, we don't water down the truth. See, now, there may be some that'll see this service and they'll get these nasty letters that say, oh, you're a liberal. You're watering down the truth. You've got to, you know what? You come to the bridge, you'll hear plenty about hell, the reality of it. Only because we share the full truth here. But shame on anybody that uses their Bible to beat somebody up. You know what? We need to be all about sharing the truth. But it needs to be the truth in love. And whether it's you looking down at somebody or turning your nose up or barking at someone or just being so... Think of how hard your heart has to be to where you don't care for a second about how people are going to respond to this. You just want to check off. You want to put a notch on your Bible that you had another weekend of barking out truth. Scaring people and just being God awful and a nasty representative of the church. See, if that's what it's about, then you go about and you do this kind of stuff. But here's what we're called to, and this is what it's all about. How did the church grow out of the first century? How did it grow to cover the earth? It grew through the power of the Holy Spirit, a boldness that comes on us that says, don't compromise, but don't be a bully. Share love and truth. And here's the thing. This is the lesson. We all have to understand that it's our responsibility to think about and to care about how things are received. It's not just our job to push it out. It's our job to take a look. And you know what? To one person, I might speak one way. To another person, I might not speak at all. I might just show it another way. We have a responsibility to care about how it's received and then to deliver it as effectively as possible. You want to know why? Here's why. Don't be a Mentos Christian. Because it gets messy. You can say, hey, all I did was my part. All I did was go up and I just dropped a few seeds of love on them, brother. Don't be a Mentos Christian witness. Don't mistake that sense of boldness for biblical boldness. That's not it. You see, what happens when you don't really care about how it's received, when you're not caring about the love component of that truth, it makes a mess. It makes a mess. And here's the sad reality. What's all over the place right here, this mess? These are souls. Now, before I dropped those Mentos in, I could have come, could have checked the condition of them, poured out a little bit, talked. Now I've got a mess. Where do you go from here? Same place as following that joker that was on the screen. You want to be about bringing the love and truth of Jesus Christ into people's lives? Care about how they receive it. And do your best to deliver that truth in that loving way. When you do that, you're not a wallflower. You're not an explosive mess. Then you're a missionary. That's really what it's all about. Biblical boldness, taking this love and truth of Jesus Christ out. It's about being a missionary wherever you are. You know, I've got a heart for China. I've got friends all over the world. You've got a heart for where you work. We now have a heart for Kent Island, for Queenstown, for Easton, for Graysonville, for Arnold, for Annapolis. Wherever we're planted, that's our place. Be a missionary. Have the heart that says, I'll be bold. This is how God's wired me. This is where He's planted me. I'm going to be His witness as best I can. I'm not going to be a mess. I'm not going to just go around barking at people, forcing myself on them, or saying, listen, I don't really care how you receive truth. This is the one package I get, and everybody gets it. Oh, I guess that didn't fit you, and I think I just scared you off. Well, hey, I did my part. And it doesn't just sit there and say, boy, I hope somebody gets to them. They really need Jesus. I'll just look the part and, well, maybe if they ask me, I'll answer. No, the heart of a missionary is that of what the church would call an evangelist. An evangelist is just somebody that sheds truth and love, lives it out. You know, what do you say? Sometimes you don't say anything. You live it. Somebody once said, you know, preach always, when necessary, use words. I want to show you one more clip this morning. And I want to show this to you because this is real life, everyday normal. Okay? I'm going to show you a young man that could be sitting right here, dead center. Not some missionary from other parts of the world. You know, I looked at different things. I was going to show you some of the great martyrs of the church. Jim Elliot happens to be one of my favorites. If you've not seen the movie The Tip of the Spear, I'd encourage you to go see it. It came out a couple of years ago. You know, he said a number of profound things, but one of the things that he said is that servant that advances on his knees never retreats. You know, he said, you are no fool to give away what you cannot keep, to gain what you cannot lose. But I didn't go into all of that. I didn't want to go get you some of the giant heroes of the faith, because what happens is we tend to look at those and say, wow. And you know what? They're giants of the faith. But if we don't leave here understanding that, you know what? I am a missionary. I am that bold witness. That just as God used those disciples to grow the church out of that little red dot in the middle of the globe, to break through and cover the earth, He wants to use me. I'm telling you, friends, He wants to use you. He wants you to just simply live out and show people the before and the after picture. This was me prior to my relationship with Jesus. This is me after. And when it's going the way Jesus would have it to go, people are going to say, I want some of that. I don't really even understand it, but I knew you before, and I know you now. And I want some of what's going on inside of you. Because I notice nothing else out here is really changing a whole lot. But you're altogether different from the inside out, what's going on. The missionary lives out a life of showing that and spreading that and being bold about loving people with that. Let me show you a young man, average every day, just like you and me, mixing paint for Jesus. Take a look at this.
It's a scary thing to think about that there are so many people walking around every day that don't know the love of Christ and don't have eternal salvation. And when their time is up, and they're going to face either heaven or hell. And it's God has shown me so much that I can't just sit back and be a bystander while souls perish. So I pray every single day, Lord, use my life to glorify You. And my desire is for people to know the way to heaven, that there is only one way, and it's through Jesus. So I started working at Home Depot just about 2 years ago, and fresh off of radical change. And as soon as I went there, God just began to share with me in my personal time that He wanted to do something great at Home Depot. Before I would go to work, I would kind of be apprehensive still about sharing my belief in Christ. And I began to lean on a scripture that said, he who trusts in the Lord will never be put to shame. And I've just seen that that every single time I've stepped out in faith, that I've never been put to shame, and God has always come and met me there. And so sharing my faith, just being open with people, and not preaching to people, but showing them, like, this is what happened in my life. This is what God did. And I want to share this with you. And it's not something that's just real to me. It's not, God's not just real to me. Not just, although He is real in my life, He's real. He's real everywhere. And He can be real to you too. Going from living a life, the desire to be an entertainer up in front of the stage, to going to Home Depot and just mixing paint, that's something that did not appeal to me. But
looks like my young friend is frozen. I'll tell you what happened. He says, you know what? I was looking to have a career on stage. I was going to be a performer. But I felt God called me to go mix paint at Home Depot. I didn't really like the idea of that, but I did it because my call was to obey, not to find the happy path, not to find the fun road, but to obey. He goes on to say that when he arrived there at Home Depot, there was one other young lady that worked at Home Depot that was an open, professing Christian who arrived like him, intentionally looking to be bold, not a wacko, you know, not somebody you run away from in aisle five, but just live out this faith, you know, just average everyday guy. But his faith meant a ton to him. It was the foundation of his life. In 2 years, 187 people gave their life to Christ on the staff at Home Depot. Amen. Amen is right. Not because of any program, not because that idiot and his van were parked out front scaring people to death and barking at them, but because some young people or old people, or middle-aged people, fat people, skinny people, tall people, short people. Because real-life people just lived out their faith and shared. They were bold. That's the essence of balanced biblical boldness. One of the reasons why Mission Impossible was in reality, mission reality, Mission Possible, is because people went to the Lord and said, God, you know what's going on here. You know what we're up against. Help me to be bold in my witness. Help me to be all that you have created me to be. And help me to say yes to where you've called me to go, to be who you've called me to be, and to do it not looking to make sure that I'm going to have fun or that it's going to be easy or that it minimizes the storms. Help me to say yes because that's where you've called me to go. Help me to say yes because that's who you've called me to be. Period. When that happens, my friends, and you can live with a balanced biblical boldness, you won't be a mirror of biblical boldness. You won't be a Mentos mess of biblical boldness. You'll be a missionary with biblical boldness. And you, my friends, will go and you will be lifesavers. You won't be a Mentos that makes a mess. You'll be lifesavers for people who are going to spend a very real eternity someplace. So my call and my charge to all of us, make a priority to choose to intentionally be a lifesaver of biblical boldness. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you now and I thank you so much for silly things like Mentos and Diet Coke that we can use to illustrate your love and your truth. Father, I pray for that man that was in the van and the other guy holding the sign. You know, their souls just like everybody else. And I pray for theirs. Lord, open up the eyes of their heart so that they will see the truth that they claim to profess. That they, in fact, would repent, seek your forgiveness, and to take what they're trying to do and help them to do it effectively for others instead of for themselves. Lord, I pray that you'll never, ever allow any of us to put ourselves up on a perch, but help us to see eye to eye with every person that does not yet know you, and to remember that we too have been there, and that the fact that we're with you, while it is a privilege, it does not give us the right to look down at anyone. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us the bold umption to get up and to get out of our comfort zone, that we not just look the part, but that we live out this relationship that has changed our lives. We do all of this, Father, knowing that you give us the power through your Holy Spirit, and you have opened the doors to eternity to us through the sacrificial death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.